This episode is sponsored by ByHeart, and I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all five of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last two biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. If you have a big event coming up that you need to get a nice outfit for, and you are dreading having to do the shopping for it, and also you're like, oh, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, well, I've got a solution for you. Armoire is a clothing rental service, and they have such great clothes to choose from. Here's the thing. You go on their website and you get to take a survey that is going to really help you define your style. And you can also tell them if you're looking for something specific. So if you're looking for dresses, a type of dress, formal dresses, office wear, whatever it is, maybe you're looking for casual clothes, I don't know, but you can tell them what you're looking for. And then they are going to curate this closet for you of items to choose from. And then you choose which ones you want to rent, and they ship them right to your door. So you don't even have to go in store and try things on. I was so impressed with what they sent me. They nailed my style, and also they nailed my size, which I find very difficult to do. I can go to the mall and try on item after item after item after item, and rarely do I find things that fit me really well. But almost everything they sent fit me perfectly. In fact, I had to send back my bag of the clothes that I had rented, and I was really sad to part with it because some of the things in it I had worn so many times that I really didn't want to give them up because I love them so much. In fact, I was like, should I just go ahead and purchase this? Which is an option that they offer as well. But if you'd like to try out this clothing rental service, right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get to where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mother of four, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. I am joined in studio today by Lisa Turkhurst, and she is going to bring so much wisdom. I already know we've been sitting across from each other just talking a little bit about what we're going to talk about, and I cannot wait to dive into this topic. Her new book is called Forgiving What You Can't Forget: Discover How to Move On, Make peace with painful memories and create a life that's beautiful again. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa.
Well, thank you, Crystal. It's such a joy to be with you and just fun to see you again.
I know. It's been a long time.
It has. I feel like I'm on just a deficit of friendship time this year. So it's really fun to do. I know we've got work to do today, but it's been fun to catch up as friends too.
And for anyone who is listening right now, who is not super familiar with your work, I'm sure everyone's heard your name, but I'd love for you to just take a little time to introduce yourself to my audience.
Sure thing. So I'm an author. I think this is my 25th book, but
you know,
honestly,
you've written a lot of books when you're not even sure.
I know. One day I just need to sit down and count them because this is kind of sad that I don't know. But I'm an author. I'm a speaker. I'm a wife and a mom. I've got 5 kids, but so many of my kids are grown and now married, and now they're having grandbabies. And so that's such a joy of my life. And I'm president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, which I helped start almost 27 years ago.
Wow. And with Proverbs 31, tell us a little bit about what is your heart with that and what does that ministry do?
So our main goal every day is to help women especially know the truth, live the truth, because it changes everything. But I did not grow up in the church, and so the Bible was always super intimidating to me. So I like to help people have access to biblical truth who may be sort of on the fringe of like, I think that's nice. I grew up in church, or I didn't grow up in church. I think some of the principles are nice, but I'm just not really sure, A, how to study the Bible, and B, I don't really know what I believe. And so I really love sitting with women. And of course, today, we're doing all this sitting with women in technology, you know. Mm-hmm. So through our podcast, one of my favorite series that we've done in our Proverbs 31 podcast is our therapy and theology series, where we combine counseling truth with biblical truth. And I think that's really helpful. But really, I think the best way to sort of jump into Proverbs 31 is either through our podcast or our First 5 app. And you can download that app at First 5 app anywhere, you know, you can download your apps, and that will give you about 5 minutes worth of very applicable Bible teaching each day. And I think people really enjoy that.
Mm. So for your maybe 25th, we're not sure, but we think 25th book, you wrote it on the topic of forgiveness. Forgiving what you can't forget is the title. And this is a big topic.
It is a big topic. I've told people that this book has simultaneously about killed me and saved me all in one book. Mm. And, you know, Crystal, I don't write as an expert, like, hey, I'm super educated on this topic, so let me just jump in and impress you with all of my knowledge. I don't do that. I tackle topics that I struggle with. And so you can really look at my books and you can see Lisa's got a lot of issues. So she's got a lot of stuff that she's written about. But I know, much like you being an author, I know when I sit down to write a book, I am going to spend 2 to 3 years studying, researching, writing, editing, and then talking about this subject. So it has to be something that I feel a certain urgency to address in my own life. And forgiveness, I have to say, has been something I knew I needed to tackle, but I didn't want to.
Mm. And so what was kind of the impetus to make you say, okay, I don't want to tackle this, but I'm going to?
I think because I was hurting and I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do about it. And I felt like I was holding on to resentment, trying to say bitterness is bad, you know, and I was beating myself up for not making more progress in my emotional healing. I'd been through a lot. And honestly, how my emotional pain kept presenting itself is I was getting triggered a lot in my pain and I didn't know what to do with it. And I felt like I was slowly turning into someone I didn't even like. And I remember there was a day that I was in Target, and the you know how your phone will send you these little memories from 4 years ago on this day? And those are wonderful until your memories become super painful. Mm. And so I remember this memory movie. I didn't request, I didn't put it together, or just somehow my phone created it, sent it to me. And I started watching it. And I felt as if the wind got knocked out of me so hard. I was unable to move. I literally became paralyzed in my pain. Mm-hmm. I couldn't speak. I felt like if I open up my mouth right now, and if I just let the emotion that I'm feeling inside of me start to spill out, I will crumple in a heap on the floor and someone's going to have to carry me out of here. It was that bad. And so I let a few people who were behind me just go ahead of me. I literally couldn't move. I was hurting so bad. I just went through the motions. Eventually, I checked out at Target. I went and sat in my car and I started crying. And I called my counselor and I said, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I am panicking. I don't know what to do with myself. And I literally cannot focus. I feel like I'm in serious trouble. And he said, Lisa, we need to do an intensive. You don't just need a 1-hour appointment. I think you need an intensive. So I made the appointment and it sounded like a good idea at the time. He fit me in pretty quickly. And I remember the day that I walked into that appointment, he looked at me and he said, Lisa, do you want to heal? And I said, of course I do. I wouldn't have made this appointment if I didn't. And he said, well, today's a good day to start working on forgiveness. Mm. And I thought to myself, are you high? Like, have you been doing drugs? There is absolutely no way that now is a good time to start working on forgiveness. Because what I was walking through that was causing so much pain, Crystal, was a situation I didn't think I would ever be in. I found out my husband was being unfaithful and I didn't know what to do about it. And it wasn't a tidy progress of like, you know, we've found out what was going on. And then there was not immediate repentance and then, you know, counseling and then reconciliation. And then it's like, yeah, that was hard, but we're going to get through this. I mean, there were 2.5 years that I was separated from my husband. He didn't even live in the same house with me. There was addictions that were involved. It was complicated. It was messy. And after 18 months of holding it private, things started leaking out. And because I live a pretty public life, suddenly the weight of public opinion got put on top of our very private pain. And at that point, I did not know if my husband was ever going to come home. I didn't know if the addictions would ever get under control. And I wasn't done hurting yet. And so I remember looking at my counselor and just saying, how could I possibly forgive? He hasn't even said he's sorry. We're not even talking at this point. And if the other person never says they're sorry, and if I just don't feel like forgiving, then what am I supposed to do? Fake through this process? Like, I can't do that. And so I didn't think forgiveness applied in my circumstance.
And so what did he say to you that caused you to change your mind? Because you must have had to change your mind because you wrote a book on forgiveness.
Yes, thank you. That is stating the obvious for sure. No, he did the best thing that anyone I think has ever done for me in this whole journey. He said, Lisa, let's just start with your pain. And so he handed me the stack of 3x5 cards and he said, why don't you just start with how you've been hurt? And I thought, okay, I can do that. And so he said, write one thing on each card of how you've been hurt or wronged, or where something's been done to you by this person and you can't make peace with it. So just write all your pain out. And he said, and let's stay focused on art. Let's stay focused on your husband. And so I did, and I started to write one card and then two cards. And before I knew it, there was 30 cards on the floor. The floor was covered with these 3x5 cards. And then when I got to the very last thing, and I thought, I don't have anything else that I can think of, I looked at my counselor. And this was the beautiful thing he did for me. He said to me, Lisa, I believe you. I believe that all of this has happened to you. And he said, Lisa, I want you to know it was wrong. What's happened to you was wrong. This should not have happened to you. And Crystal, it was such a beautiful, important moment because I started to realize that what was really making me so resistant to forgiveness, even hearing that word made me so angry, is because I wrongly thought that forgiveness was me saying that what happened was no big deal, and it was a very big deal. Or it was me saying that the other person wasn't wrong, and I felt like they absolutely were wrong. And if I forgive, isn't that me saying that I'm okay with it and I am not okay with this? And so I want to do that for a listener right now. I just want to say, if no one else in this world has ever dared to bear witness to your pain, I will. I will say, I'm so sorry for what happened. I don't know why they did what they did, or they said what they said, or why they walked away, or why they stayed and hurt you so much. I don't know those answers. And I don't know the specifics of what you've walked through. But what I can say is, if it hurt you, it shouldn't have happened. And I am so sorry that it did. But friend, I want to tell you what my counselor shared with me that day. He said, Lisa, you deserve to stop suffering because of what this other person has done to you. And the only way to sever the source of suffering is to make the decision you will no longer allow the person who hurt you to hijack your ability to heal and move forward. So you cannot wait for the other person to say that they're sorry, or to make the decision to change, or to do anything. Because otherwise, if you're always waiting for them to make a choice, then you are saying, my healing is attached to choices that I cannot control. So you've got to sever the source of suffering through the power of forgiveness. And forgiveness is actually not an unfair gift you have to give to that person that hurt you. Forgiveness is actually a beautiful gift that you can receive for yourself, because God has given us this ability to allow our hearts to heal when we walk through the process of forgiveness.
I think that so many people that I talk to feel stuck, because I think they know they've been hurt. But for you to start with just acknowledging they've been hurt, like, I think that sometimes we feel like we just need to stuff down all that pain, and that forgiveness, like you said, is that it's just kind of like, we're just going to wipe the slate clean and move on. And yet I'm listening to this book right now, The Body Keeps the Score. I don't
know
if you've...
Yes, I have read it. Yes.
And it's so powerful of how these things in our past affect us so poignantly right in our present. And I was thinking of, you had a lot of health things that you went through, major life-threatening, you almost died. Mm-hmm. And you talk about that in this book, and how you have to acknowledge that pain. We can't just keep stuffing it down. Mm-hmm. And so for the woman right now who is listening, who this is touching her deeply, and she's, you know, just for you to acknowledge that is a huge step for her to recognize it's okay to acknowledge, I was hurt. I was hurt deeply.
Yeah, it's not only okay, Crystal, but it is absolutely necessary. Because I think when we've been hurt, wounded, betrayed by another person, for us to say, well, I'm just going to, you know, make peace with my feelings, or I'm just going to pretend like it didn't hurt me as bad as it did, that's almost like betraying ourselves on top of all the other hurt that we've been through. And when I stuffed my pain down and I refused to acknowledge it, and I kept just pushing through, like just push through, just do another day and another day. But all of that hurt, all of that trauma went somewhere. And in my body, it went to my colon. And what happened to me is my colon actually detached from the abdominal wall. It twisted itself around in a knot, and I almost died. And the surgeons that went to do surgery on me, when they finally figured out what was happening, they had to remove most of my colon. And they said when they opened up my midsection, it looked, the trauma was so severe, it looked like I'd been hit by a bus. And so most people don't get a picture of what emotional trauma does to the body, but I did. And I can say it is absolutely necessary for us to acknowledge how we've been hurt, what it's done to us, and the fact that we need someone in this world to just bear witness to our pain. And it doesn't have to be the person that hurt us. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have a friend, you can have a counselor. You know, that's part of what makes counseling so powerful, is it's not so much that the counselor is telling us what to do. The counselor is helping to get from what's stuck inside of us, to get all of that out. And usually in my counseling sessions, I walk away and I just think, wow, I just paid him so that I could talk for an hour. And really, I just needed someone to give me permission that A, I am hurting, and B, I already kind of knew what I should do with it. Mm-hmm. I just needed someone to sort of bring it out front and center and acknowledge it's real. It's real. You know, Crystal, when I was a little girl, my mom did a good job of teaching me about forgiveness, but I never let my little girl view of forgiveness grow up and mature into something that I could carry into some very hard adult situations. So when I was a little girl, my sister and I would get into a fight, and I was the aggressive one. So usually, you know, my sister would cry, my mom would appear, and my mom was like the great judge, you know, and she would appear and she would say, Lisa, it was wrong for you to hit your sister. Say you're sorry. And then she would look at my sister and she would say, now you need to say that you forgive her. You need to hug and make up. And if the two of you don't stop acting foolish, I'm going to really give you something to cry about. And then the great judge would disappear. So I think forever in my life, I carried that little girl view of forgiveness into my adult world, and I kept waiting for the judge to appear to declare someone right and someone wrong. And one reason I kept holding on to all my resentments is because I was waiting for that epic moment where I could present my case to the great judge and prove how deeply I'd been hurt. But what I've realized is, that's not the way life plays out. There very rarely ever is that opportunity where we get to present all this proof, this resentment that we've held on for so long. And very rarely do we ever get the opportunity for the other person to realize how deeply they wounded us. Very rarely. And so if we're waiting for this epic moment our whole life and it doesn't come, we are holding on to this trauma that's been done to us, and it wreaks havoc in our body, in our mind. And the bitterness doesn't want to just like be a feeling. It wants to be our only feeling. And so I'm glad you're reading that, the book, you know, The Body Keeps the Score. I read it too. And I think that this work on forgiveness that I'm doing, and as I was writing Forgiving What You Can't Forget, I wanted to really give people answers for not just the biblical view of forgiveness, but the real emotional process of healing, acknowledging that these traumas are real and they're hard.
So once you have kind of sat in that place of acknowledging the pain and really owning, you know, you talked about you had 33x5 cards. So what do you do with that? So then, you know, your counselor said to you, you know, I acknowledge, you know, that hurt. And he just sat with you in that pain, which is such an important piece, but we can't just stay there.
That's right. We can't stay stuck in the pain, because hurt that sits unattended too long in the human heart, it has such a propensity to turn into hate. Mm. And it will turn us into someone that we don't even want to be. And I was determined that my heart was too beautiful a place for bitterness, resentments, and unhealed hurt and unforgiveness. And so I looked at my counselor and I said, okay, now what am I supposed to do? And he said, Lisa, it's time to make a decision to forgive. And I said to him, okay, I can do that, but what do I do about all these feelings that aren't signing on to this process? Because one thing I'm not fake. And so I don't want to say I forgive this person if I really don't feel like forgiving them. And I remember Jim, my counselor, he was so patient. He just said, Lisa, you're a Christian. And so why don't you just acknowledge that God's forgiveness has flowed to you. So now you are just letting it flow through you. And it's not your determination that is releasing this forgiveness process. It's just your cooperation. Like you're acknowledging you need forgiveness. And so you're letting forgiveness flow to you and through you. So just add a statement on the end, like I choose to forgive this person because I'm empowered to do that. So I'm choosing to forgive Art. That's my husband. I'm choosing to forgive Art for this specific pain that he caused me. And whatever my feelings will not yet allow for, God will surely cover. Mm. And I can't really explain to you why it was so powerful, but it was because I felt like it's okay. I can make this decision for me and I don't have to wait on Art and I don't even have to feel so lovey-dovey forgiving. And I'm not saying that reconciliation is immediate. It's not. And I'm not saying that my trust is reestablished in the relationship because it wasn't. And I'm not even saying that I'm okay with what happened. I wasn't okay with what happened. And I was still leaving space for emotional healing to occur. Because after I did that, I went card by card by card by card. End of each individual card, I had a marked moment of forgiveness. And he gave me these little pieces of red felt material. And I would just lay after each card, I would lay a piece of red felt over each card. And it was such a beautiful way for me to say, like, I'm empowered to do this. No one else can steal this from me. And this is what I'm doing for my healing. I'm doing it for me. And it was really powerful. But then I remember I looked at Jim and I said, okay, what's going to happen, you know, 6 hours from now, 6 days from now, 6 months from now, when I'm triggered in this pain and I'm hurting all over again and I feel angry and bitter. Now, what do I do? Because I don't want to feel like a forgiveness failure. And he said, Lisa, remember, forgiveness is both a decision which you've made today to forgive for the facts of what happened, but forgiveness is also a process to forgive for the impact that this has had on you. It's two parts. You've made the decision today, and when you get triggered in your pain, recognize it's just another indication of an unhealed place in your heart. So stop and have another marked moment of forgiveness. So literally, it used to be, Crystal, that I'd be in the grocery store, you know, or Target's where I live my life, basically. But I remember, like, I'd be in the grocery store, I'd be in the banana aisle, and I would hear a song and it would trigger me in pain. And it used to be that I would just have that panic feeling. I remember one time I even laid across the bananas in the produce section of the grocery store. I literally just, my feet were on the ground, but my whole midsection just boom, right on top of the bananas. And you know, the poor fruit guy, he came over, he's like this little teenager, you know, and he's like, ma'am, can I help you? And I remember looking at him saying, dear God, I wish you could help me. They do not pay you enough to help people like me, you know? But now, instead of those triggers hijacking me, now I know exactly what it is. Oh, this is part of the impact that this has had on me. The impact of how I was wounded. If it was a $5 impact, then there's probably not a long process of emotional healing. But if it was the equivalent of a $5 million impact, then that pain is going to leak into my life over time. And that is okay. And that's normal. And it's part of the emotional healing process. So I stop and I say, I now forgive this person for what they, not the fact of what they did, but how what they did impacted me. The anxiety, the fear, the traumatic, you know, feeling of like, I can't process this, whatever it is. And I say, and whatever my feelings will not yet allow for, I'm choosing to forgive them for this. But whatever my feelings will not yet allow for right now, I'm trusting that God will surely cover it. And it is so empowering now to know what I can do with those triggers. Mm.
So I'm sitting here thinking of the woman who is listening, and this is touching her in a deep way, but maybe she is continuing to get hurt. It's not like it was a past experience. She's in a relationship or a situation where it's constantly she's being hurt. What words of advice would you say to her?
Well, in the book, I go into a lot of detail for this because most of us are in relationships with family members that have hurt us, and they keep hurting us. And as much as we want them to change, they're not changing. And as much as we want them to have these epic realizations of how wrong they are, we've waited for some of my family members, I've waited for over 50 Thanksgivings for them to act normal, and they're still not. And it's so hard and so painful. So there's a whole section in the book about boundaries, and specifically boundaries around situations where you have forgiven that person, but you know the holiday table is coming and they're going to hurt you all over again. And so I help you know exactly how to prepare for it, what to do, what to think, what not to think, what to say, what not to say. And best of all, I empower you to realize that you do not have to continue to give that person emotional access to your heart and to your mind. And you can forgive someone and absolutely have a lot of space between you and them so that you don't keep getting hurt. And that's so important in a message like this. Mm,
I absolutely agree. And I love that you give such practical takeaways. And it's not just like, forgive. And, you know, because there are so many women that I speak to who are in really, really hard, hurtful situations, and they need to know, what should they do next? And so thank you for writing that and addressing that in this book, because I feel like there are some situations we can't just tie up with a neat little bow, and it's not going to be this reconciliation or something. And we have to face it again and again and again. And so to know how to face it with that emotional, I don't know if we want to say like armor on, that's going to help us to not just continue to get hurt and hurt and hurt.
And I think one of the complicated things that I continue to wrestle with, and I think the reason why at first I was like, why am I writing this book? You know, I struggle with forgiveness. I don't want to write this book. But I think because I struggle with it, I was able to bring the appropriate amount of emotional angst that this topic deserves. And, you know, I think it's important to know too, in my healing journey with my husband, because not only did we have to heal from the infidelity, which is such a long process, and try to reestablish trust, which is brutally difficult. But the addiction cycle is something that I think where I see a lot of women hurting and feeling so disempowered is when they're married to someone who's struggling with addictions. And so I address some of that as well. And what I help, really what I really want to help somebody today is remember, it doesn't make you an unforgiving person to draw boundaries. Boundaries are not meant to shove the other person away. They're meant to hold you, yourself, together. And you do not have to participate in every drama that you're invited to. You can be this beautiful person with a beautiful life who is in some relationships that are quite complicated. And so I think this book will help your heart probably more than anything else that you've read in a long time.
As we close up, I just would love for you to share with us the writing of this book. And then I know I can't even imagine how difficult it would have been to write this book, because it required you to go to some really, really hard, raw places and kind of put them out there. But can you share with us, the subtitle is Discover How to Move On, Make Peace with Painful Memories, and Create a Life That's Beautiful Again. And I'm assuming since there's that subtitle that you feel like you are getting to that place in your life. Can you tell us a little bit about where you are now after writing this book?
Well, now I'm in this place. I'm still healing. But I think that I've recognized forgiveness is not just a principle for us to heal from the hard and horrific in our life. Forgiveness is actually supposed to be something that's as much a part of our daily living as eating, breathing, sleeping, and exercising, and then just add on forgiving. Mm-hmm. And so I've gotten to this place now where I used to feel almost paralyzed because I knew more hurt was coming. Mm-hmm. I just knew, like, especially in our world today, all I have to do is open up my social media account. And if I dig just a little deep in there, I'm going to get somebody has sent me something hurtful, or I'm going to walk into the coffee shop and somebody's really angry with something that happened in their world today, but they're unleashing the anger on, you know, me and anybody else they're interacting with today. And so I used to kind of feel like I want to go to a deserted island and be all by myself because I'm so tired of being hurt. Mm-hmm. But now I have actually gotten to this part where I wake up in my bed and I say some prayers in the morning. I confess where I need forgiveness. And then as I receive that forgiveness, I actually look forward to opportunities that I can let it now flow through me to other people. So I pre-forgive people who are going to bump into me, into my happy that day. And so just imagine how powerful and beautiful this world would be if we already pre-forgave that person that was going to be a jerk to us today. Mm-hmm. And we interact with them. Maybe it's at the coffee shop, maybe it's at school, or maybe it's at our workplace. And we're like, oh no, bro, just because you laid that offense down does not mean I'm going to pick that offense up and carry it with me and have it ruin my day. Like, you do you, boo. I have already forgiven you. And so God bless you. You know, you have a great day, and I can tell something has hurt you today. And I just want you to know, like, I'm going to get in my car and say a little prayer for you. And you turn around and you walk away and you leave the offense where they put it, but you don't have to pick it up and let it ruin your day today. And it's not always so neat and tidy. You don't always have that epic, like, comeback, you know, or anything like that. But it has started to free me that I am only held accountable to my words and my thoughts and my choices. And if I want a beautiful life, then I have beautiful thoughts, beautiful choices, and I take beautiful steps in my life. And then I'm going to do my part in making this world an even more beautiful place.
And that's a beautiful way to end. So for those of you listening who you want that too, you want this peace and this perspective that Lisa has, I cannot recommend highly enough getting a copy of Lisa's new book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget. Discover how to move on, make peace with painful memories, and create a life that's beautiful again. As always, if you have any question on any topic you'd love for Jesse and I to answer on a future episode, or you just have feedback or suggestions, or you'd love for us to change something or do something different, we love to hear from you. We love your emails. And so you can send an email to crystal@moneysavingmom.com. Thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of The Crystal Payne Show. Have a great week. And remember, you can't always choose your circumstances, but you can always choose your attitude.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.